First matter for oral argument this morning is South Allegheny Pittsburgh Restaurant Enterprises, LLC versus the city. Mr. Tucker.
May it please the court, my name is Richard Tucker. I'm counsel for the appellant, South Allegheny Pittsburgh Restaurant Enterprises, LLC, sometimes known by its acronym of SAPRE.
Thank you for pronouncing it. My chambers and I have had a great difficulty in recent weeks trying to figure out whether it's SAPRE or SAPRE.
Well, you guys have difficulty with everything.
Yeah, well, English mostly.
But where I come from, it's just South Allegheny. Yeah,
you've South clarified. Allegheny, yeah. Could I ask at the outset, for purposes of due process here, both of your due process claims, of course, we've got to have a property interest at stake here, and the property interest is going to be defined by state law. What is the property interest?
The property interest is the right to pursue a business and livelihood, Your Honor.
Any business, any livelihood?
Any lawful business or livelihood. And that was...
So you're not proceeding on any kind of entitlement theory here under law?
Or a license to operate business. Yeah. You still have the license?
We had a license. We had every license we were...
Do you have it now is the question. Was your license revoked or rescinded?
The license was never revoked. We were closed down.
Okay.
That was the problem. Closed down.
After the Court of Common Pleas decision, did you reopen?
No, it was too late.
Why was it too late? Why
was it too late?
To reopen.
Because the business had been shut down. They had lost all of the income that they were going to have.
Yeah,
they,
but why not?
They had a leasehold.
But why not start it up again? Why weren't you able to open the business again?
But they lost the lease.
They had no money
to pay the lease.
Okay.
They were closed. They were totally put out of business.
And that's in your complaint? That the loss here is the loss of the lease because of the loss of income?
I believe that is in the complaint. Okay. Yes, Your Honor. Okay. It is. Your Honor, before I get started, with the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Granted.
The city, so if you didn't attempt to reopen, because you couldn't, so the city hasn't given any notice of noncompliance since the Court of Common Pleas decision in May 15th of 18?
They haven't, as far as I know, they haven't taken any action at all. There wasn't any action to take because we're not there. We can't be there. We lost our lease.
So, okay, let's go back to Chief Judge Smith's first question. Is the right that you're claiming is property right is what, a license to operate a business? Is that?
No, we've had the license. That's the important
thing. Well, of course you had the license, but right. What I'm trying to do is see if we can narrow to some extent or more clearly define what the property interest is here. Is the property interest in any way defined by the use that was being made here at the time of the stop work order? That is, I think under the zoning code, it was called Restaurant General.
Restaurant General was, and we had a license to pursue that business as a restaurant.
Do you call it a license, or is it a certificate of occupancy, or what is the term of art used under the city zoning code?
It has to be a certificate of occupancy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes. The certificate of occupancy.
Brief reads that way.
We had a certificate of occupancy to operate.
Delaware follows Pennsylvania, and I think that's what we call it, CO. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, you're following a very wise path, then, if you're following Pennsylvania. I want to avoid the word license only because we're talking about a business here that clearly and intentionally does not have a liquor license, which is a completely separate
right.
and meaningful distinction for Pennsylvania operational and legal purposes.
I'm sorry, here. Yes, it had a certificate of occupancy to operate as a restaurant mm-hmm. general with dancing, I might point out.
But no live music?
But no.
But no live music?
Live entertainment, was prohibited under the special exception that had been granted to operate a bar and license on the first floor of these particular premises.
And what kind of, were you advised by L&I before the place opened as to what you needed to do to make sure that you were in compliance with the CO?
They came out on July 15th and inspected the premises, told them, made recommendations as what they needed to do in order to be able to operate. And they did that. They did whatever they were recommended to do when the department came out and inspected. In fact, the department came out several times during the course of the months of July and August while SAPRE was spending substantial sums renovating the premises so that it could operate as a restaurant with dancing.
And yet the zoning officer shows up together with one police officer initially on the very first day of operation.
Right.
What, certainly in the post Twombly and Iqbal world, we must look at complaints with a view toward plausibility. And while it would be incorrect to say that we can draw inferences from the face of a complaint as we do from evidence, we are called upon nevertheless to take an additional step when we are inquiring as to plausibility than what we once would have done in a pre-Twombly and Iqbal regime. What is there anything with respect to the plausibility we give to the averments of your complaint here that we ought to draw from the fact that this occurs on the very first day of operation?
Well, I think the inference that you can draw is that someone told them they wanted this business closed. They came out clearly prepared to close it down. They came out with 20 police officers. Even
28,
though
28.
I'm sorry, did I say something different?
You said 20. I thought it was 28.
Approximately 28.
The Pittsburgh Police Department.
I'm sorry. Approximately 28 police officers. They were going to close it down no matter what they found. I think that's the inference that you draw from what came, particularly because Inspector Mariani and a police officer had sat outside the building from about 12:15 a.m. on September 4th for a period of time watching what was going on and saw nothing. Absolutely nothing that would warrant police.
I mean, how do you know that, and how are we to conclude that from the face of a complaint at the motion to dismiss stage that they saw nothing?
How are you to conclude that? I think you're permitted to draw reasonable inferences.
Well, this is a business that is intended to draw a clientele that is the under 21 crowd. I.e., no lawful drinking going on there.
Right.
Isn't it reasonable for anyone reviewing this complaint to conclude that there's a heightened concern, that is a public interest, that is vindicated by the zoning officer surveilling and making sure that that is indeed the kind of clientele that is going in and out of this business, especially on the very first day it opens?
That's what they were doing when they were sitting in the police car. They were observing to see whether there was anything going on, and there wasn't. That's the problem. There was no cause to go back and get 28 police officers and go in and close down this establishment.
Well, I don't mean to quibble here, but I don't see how we know that they saw nothing or that there was nothing going on at the time it was being surveilled. I think we do know from the complaint that nothing was determined after they entered, right?
I think we know from the, I think we allege in the complaint they saw nothing.
All right.
They saw nothing.
And also it's on page 7 of the Court of Common Pleas opinion.
I'm sorry?
It was also on page 7 of the Court of Common Pleas opinion.
Right.
But again, since we're talking about plausibility, how is it plausible that merely at the complaint motion to dismiss stage, you know without having taken a deposition or pursued other discovery, what Mariani and or the officer saw or didn't see?
Well, all I can say is he only gave one reason for closing them down, and it wasn't because he had seen something unlawful happen. He gave the reason for closing them down because he didn't think they looked like a restaurant. To him, they didn't. He told Brandon Furman, the owner of Sapre, he said, "This restaurant doesn't look like an Eaton Park to me." Now, to those of you who are not familiar with Eaton Park, it's a chain of restaurants in western Pennsylvania.
Mr. Tucker, in you're in Pittsburgh, so you know Altoona. Eaton Park is cuisine.
That's an assumption. Do you know Altoona?
Sure he does.
I don't know. Well, I know. Hey. I know what it is. I'm not sure I've ever been there. I'm not sure I've ever been there, but I know what it is.
But, oh, God.
But that was his only reason. He didn't even know what the definition of a restaurant was under the zoning code. He was just taking something out of the inner.
And how is it you know that at the stage of this litigation when you've simply filed a complaint, that he doesn't know the definition?
He had testified to that, Your Honor, and we put it in the complaint. He had testified he didn't know what the definition
was. And that's at the zoning, that is at the zoning hearing.
It was. I don't remember whether it was at the zoning. It may have been at the preliminary injunction hearing.
Or before Judge James.
No, it may have been. I think it may have been at the preliminary injunction hearing.
Okay.
And if you want the opportunity to take discovery to get past.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
You want the opportunity to take discovery to establish a record.
Right. We haven't been able to take discovery, but we've alleged the facts. And luckily, we had some testimony, and that was one of the things he admitted. He didn't know the standard that he was supposed to be applying.
He knew what a restaurant was.
Yeah, what a restaurant was defined. Yeah. It just didn't look like one to him.
How far away is Jimmy D's and what's the other one, Howl at the Moon? How far is that away from, is it Mother Fletcher, the restaurant we're talking about?
How far away from what?
How far away from
Jimmy D's and Howl at the Moon?
From your restaurant.
Several blocks with respect to Jimmy D's, and I think it's 2.5 miles.
One is the other side of the river, isn't it?
It's on the other side of the river. But the important thing is we're now talking about the equal protection argument.
Yeah.
Right? And with respect to the equal protection argument, it's similar in all relevant respects.
How? The entire business plan, the market to which the businesses are appealing, are decidedly different. Both Howl at the Moon and Jimmy D's have liquor licenses, right?
That's correct.
They're appealing to an over 21 crowd.
But the law is that they have to be similar in all relevant respects. And where the basis for closing them down was that they weren't operating a restaurant, i.e. not serving enough food, presumably, then that's what you need to compare. To Jimmy D's that serves no food whatsoever, Howl at the Moon that serves no food whatsoever, and they haven't been closed down. They haven't been raided in a similar fashion. That's why there's a violation of equal protection of the laws. And we, in the complaint, we went into great detail about what those two were, specifically to show that it wasn't just a general allegation. We believe there are others, by the way, as I think we say in the complaint. But those are the two that we describe in great detail.
Isn't your strongest argument by far the procedural due process argument?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Isn't your strongest argument by far the procedural due process argument?
Yes, it is. It clearly
is. The only argument, really.
That would be what I want to emphasize the most, because the process that was provided here simply was not appropriate.
All right. Well, we'll have you back on rebuttal then, Mr. Tucker.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Corn. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes.
Corn, you're from the city solicitor's office.
That's correct.
Who is the city solicitor in Pittsburgh now?
Thank you. May it please the court, Julie Corn on behalf of the city and the other appellees. The city solicitor currently is Yvonne Hilton.
Oh, yeah, she's been city solicitor for a number of years now, hasn't she?
Believe about a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Well, you've heard the questions from the panel directed to Mr. Tucker, and you know, I think one thing that is clear from the questions that all three of us have asked is the seeming oddity of having 28 police officers led by whoever their ranking officer was, together with a city zoning official, surveilling and then going into this business that caters to an under 21 crowd on the night of its very first day of operation. Don't we have reason to be skeptical of those circumstances as they are outlined in the complaint?
Your Honor, I would submit that no, there's no reason to be skeptical of that.
Why show up with 28 officers when they didn't see anything before? No violation of the code other than possibly something wasn't operating as under its CO authorization. There was no violence, no drugs, no alcohol. 28 police officers when they don't see anything. And that's like killing a gnat with a
shotgun.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
It is. And plus, Mr. Mariani comes in. He's shutting them down because it doesn't look like a restaurant. But he doesn't know where a restaurant is. I mean, he's asked, I think, at least the allegation is, well, what's a restaurant? I don't know. So if they had a little steak tartare to go with the pretzels, would that have been enough to get him over the hoop?
Your Honor, I can address both of those questions. First, with the police force. I mean, the number of police officers to bring when you're enforcing a zoning stop work order would be up to the discretion of those enforcing it. Mr. Mariani is not a police officer, and it would not be inappropriate for him to ask for some accompaniment. We also know from
some accompaniment.
Yes.
What do you mean?
An army.
Some
yes.
Accompaniment.
I can't speak to his comfort level with enforcing a stop work order.
I was the district attorney of a county and occasionally showed up and accompanied a police officer at raids. I don't think I remember any situation in my years as a district attorney or as a prosecutor showing up for a drug raid with 28 police officers.
And I would just submit, we know from appellant's complaint that there was at least 70 patrons there at some point in the night. So if they're all under 21.
But not at 12:15 when Mariani was there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how he would have known that it would be empty.
That's
by the
allegation.
Time.
No, he was there at 12:15. They came back at 12:35. He was there with one individual at 12:15, according to the Court of Common Pleas decision. Nothing was going on. The place was empty. So at 12:35, he shows up with 28 police officers. I mean, I literally can't make sense out of what's going on here.
I can't either. There's a backstory here. I kind of wish I knew what it was, mm-hmm. but there's a lot more going on here than we've been privy to. But it makes no sense whatsoever. You show up at an establishment which is being shut down for not being a restaurant. No advance notice whatsoever. I don't know of any law which says you can just shut a place down without giving them any notice, absent an emergency. And as I read your brief, I'm looking for the word nuisance or emergency. It's not there. Mm-hmm. So if they're not operating, even if they're operating in nuisance, unless the nuisance constitutes an emergency, you serve them with notice. You give an opportunity to defend. Mm-hmm. They may or may not be able to get the steak tartare in time to classify Mr. Mariana's mind as a restaurant. Maybe those little hot dogs wrapped in rolls that everybody likes. Maybe that would get them over the restaurant bridge. I don't know, but this is ridiculous.
I think, Your Honor, when it comes to the amount of police officers and the type of definition of restaurant, whether or not there was one police officer with Mr. Mariani or 28 doesn't necessarily affect whether or not the Department of Permits, Licenses, and Inspections was able to issue a stop work order. They did
What did they issue the stop work order for?
They issued the stop work order for it not complying with the occupancy permit of it being a restaurant.
And certainly can be a valid basis for a zoning violation, right?
Yes that
but
is correct.
It would not seem on its face to be a basis for a stop work order on an emergency basis. And that's precisely what Judge James found, isn't it? That there was not an emergency.
Well, it would also help if the person shutting down the restaurant knew where the restaurant was.
Well, there is a common sense application to figure out the definition of a restaurant. We know that appellant alleged that they were selling potato chips and Pop-Tarts, which is more like a vending machine than it is a restaurant. Additionally, as you stated before in your questions, we know that this is a company or a business that's operating specifically to cater to people that are mostly minors, under 21-year-olds. So if you're not selling
but
food...
But the only relevance of being under 21 is you can't have alcohol there. Other than that, does it matter if they're 21 or if, as long as they're out not doing anything, not committing any crimes, and there's nothing here, there are no drugs, no alcohol. And you called it, I guess, an underage nightclub. He calls it a restaurant, like dueling terms in the brief. There's no alcohol,
mm-hmm.
and there are no drugs on the premises that the police saw, that anybody saw.
And there's no violence.
So whenever he goes in and he finds out that this is an under 21-year-old nightclub and that is being purported to be a restaurant serving food, and it's not necessarily serving food in the common sense way or application of a restaurant, it is within the discretion of the Department of Permits, Licenses, and Inspections.
Shut them down with no notice, no opportunity to defend, no hearing, nothing.
And you can only do that when there's an emergency. What was the emergency?
The emergency was the concern for the age of the individuals that were being
catered
to.
But they're
going
to be eating stale potato chips?
Or
there was no one there. I mean, where was the emergency?
The position of the city is that the emergency was the area of the city that it was in normally caters to, as appellant has already pointed out, to people who are over the age of 21 and who are drinking alcohol.
So if you're under 21, there's an emergency if you open a restaurant and it's not quite deemed to be a restaurant under the CO that exists.
Well, if you open a restaurant that is not actually a restaurant, and you advertise it as the largest under 21-year-old dance party in the tri-state area and the craziest party in the city of Pittsburgh, and you attract a large group of underage individuals, and then they leave at the same time from this restaurant or club, at the same time that people are leaving from other bars and restaurants, late at night, without ways to get home, yes, it is an emergency.
It's an emergency? You've got to be kidding me.
I can understand that there should be a heightened interest on the part of government for a group of people who are under 21 and perhaps substantially under 21. I think we're talking about a different group of people who perhaps require some kind of heightened attention from city officials just to assure their safety and well-being. That strikes me as a legitimate police power concern, public policy concern. But that in and of itself doesn't get you across the line to an emergency. I mean, that specific concern that is supported or could be supported as a legitimate exercise of the police power, which is to surveil, perhaps to give a heightened scrutiny to the operation of this entity, doesn't immediately translate into an emergency, does it?
Well, we're not necessarily looking
and
later
can,
on after we know
we can't question that
facts.
Anyway, because aren't we really bound, as a matter of full faith and credit to Judge James' determination that there was no emergency?
Well, he determined that afterwards. At the time that the stop work order was issued.
But we're here afterwards, mm-hmm. too, and we after his determination.
Mm-hmm. It was a matter of discretion for the appropriate code enforcement officer, which would be Mr. Mariani. Mm-hmm. And he exercised his discretion. Whether or not his discretion was correct or not is something that would essentially fall under his protection for qualified immunity.
Well, what did he see that would cause a reasonable person in his situation to believe that this was such an emergency that they had to act immediately and they couldn't just give them some kind of notice and opportunity to defend in court? Because you're arguing that a situation where a 21-year-old is allowed to go in and get absolutely plastered and come out of the restaurant and go into the parking lot where his or her car may be parked, that's not an emergency. But a 20-year-old going into a place where they're selling potato chips and pretzels
and non-alcoholic beverages
and leaving, that is an emergency. That makes no sense to me. You said they didn't have a way to get home. One, you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And two, so what?
Well, in this particular case, we know that we have
police cars out there. Could have given them a ride home.
Mm-hmm. We have an occupancy permit that allows for a restaurant, so we have a business that's putting
it. Keep going back to the idea of a restaurant. Mariani said he didn't even know what a restaurant was, mm-hmm. under the code. I don't know how that helps you.
Well,
What is a restaurant? Tell me, how is it defined? How is a restaurant defined?
Restaurant is defined as a place that sells food.
Define food for me. Would that be, we're not back in the old vegetables as ketchup era. Forget that.
Prepared food.
Define food.
Prepared food that's available for consumption at the time it's served.
How is this not fit that definition?
Because restaurant was not preparing the food. They were just buying vending machine snacks. And the common sense application of food that's being prepared would be in a kitchen. We do know from the...
They have to have a kitchen.
They did have a kitchen, but they weren't using it. So we have a situation where we have a business that's holding itself out to be a restaurant, then advertising that it's the biggest under 21-year-old nightclub in the tri-state area to attract a certain type of clientele.
The key here is the fact that the food was not prepared on site. Is that what's driving this?
I believe it's a part of it, yes.
And that would constitute an emergency.
That, coupled with the fact that they're advertising it as something other than a restaurant and something that would attract under 21-year-olds and possibly minors, that the city does have a heightened...
Well, anybody under 21, I think, would be a minor.
Yes. Yes, or under 18. It depends on how you define that. But a young, youthful crowd of people that may not have the same type of ability to make judgments that people in other parts of that same area...
Judgments as to what? There's no alcohol. Whether or not they want the salt on the... potato chips or not? What judgment are we talking about here?
The judgment is if an occupancy permit is not being followed, the city does have an interest in wanting to enforce the proper type of business within the occupancy permit. And especially if the type of alteration or moving away from the occupancy permit is to something that causes a potential for an emergency and something that if it was left open would attract.
So many slippery slopes in there. A potential for an emergency. You can't show me a situation that is not a potential for, everything is a potential for an emergency. That doesn't, you're saying that if the city sees something that's a potential for an emergency, that gives them the right to act as if it was an emergency, forget about pre-deprivation notice and process, go in immediately and close them down because there's a potential for an emergency.
Not necessarily. We know what the facts were here, as I've explained about the occupancy permit and the type of business that was actually being advertised. And then we have an individual who has the authority, Mr. Mariani, has the authority to use discretion for this emergency stop order, and he did exercise that discretion.
Doesn't he have to have informed discretion? Doesn't he at least have to know what a restaurant is that he's...
What's the protocol that you normally follow if somebody's not in compliance with the CO?
Well, in this particular case...
924.05?
I'm sorry?
924.05?
Yes, yes.
And that's notice and an opportunity to cure, right?
Yes, but there's an exception to that when there is
an
discretion exercise believing that there could be an emergency situation.
If there's an emergency.
Yes. And that's how...
And he shows up at 12:15 and sees nothing untoward, but then shows up 20-some minutes later with 28 police officers. He had one with him at 12:15. And the Court of Common Pleas says there was no emergency. Mm-hmm. How can you, I mean, we're not dealing with qualified immunity now. We're dealing with not following the protocols that are in place at the city. And the Court of Common Pleas judge said, look, if you think there's still a problem, you can, after the decision came down in May of 2018, you can go ahead and process and give them notice. I guess there was no need to do it because the place was closed. Mm-hmm. So the question then becomes, okay, if they get shut down and there is deemed by a court in a fairly comprehensive opinion with some testimony not to be an emergency, and the other side then proceeds on the previously state case in district court, why does that not continue, at least on the pre-deprivation process?
In this particular case, he exercised his discretion. We know that discretion... that is afforded to
and the court
officers.
Said that his discretion was arbitrary and capricious. Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself, and the judge ruling in favor of the appellant, essentially was the process that was afforded. We know that there's not a
But now they're closed down, and they lost their lease. I mean, there's a backstory here. I don't know what the heck it is, because it looks like the person who was running the place was cooperating, supposedly, with L&I. Mm-hmm. L&I was apparently giving advice. Something happened over the summer before the place opened on Friday, September 3, to close it down 3 or 4 hours later. And I can't figure out what that is.
But even the mistakes in discretion and any kind of due process violation at the state court level, I'm sorry, the mistake in process whenever the appeals were going to the common pleas court doesn't necessarily then create a federal cause of action, which is essentially our position on almost all of
this. Well, a certificate of occupancy to operate a business is a property right, at least under
my reference to
Midnight Sessions is a case from our court, 945 F. 2nd, 667. And that talks about the operation of business is a property right. Mm-hmm. That property right was interfered with to the point where they cannot reopen. They have all the money they put into it is lost.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the money, they said that the money was for a dance floor, which wasn't necessarily required by the permit. So that is
above and beyond. That doesn't help you.
So that, I mean, is a subject that's beside it. And then when it comes to the lease and his ability to operate under the lease, the city didn't revoke the lease. The city issued, under its discretion, a stop work order. The city has wide discretion and arguably ambiguous discretion.
But normally you follow protocols if there is not an emergency. Notice and an opportunity to cure. That's what normally happens. Somebody comes out and they say, hey, Fred, you're not in compliance. Mm-hmm. You got to get in compliance real quick, man.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they come out with a 28 officers. None of this makes sense, and I still don't understand the backstory. There's got to be a reason that this was done. I mean, unless Mariani just cowboys up for everything, I doubt that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he exercised his discretion in this particular case, and his exercise of discretion shows us that there's not a protected property interest. We don't have substantially similar comparisons between the other two bars.
Back up a second. You're saying that an LNI's exercise of discretion can establish as a matter of law what a property interest is? Is that what you just said?
Not as a matter of law, but we know from the case law that
it shows it's not a property interest.
I'm sorry?
You said it shows it's not a property interest.
Knowing that there's discretion that officers have within the Department of DPLI, basically to issue all of the occupancy permits, to require people to comply with the occupancy permits, and then afterwards to enforce the occupancy permits.
Afterwards, interesting.
After it's, the business opens, essentially, shows that there is discretion. And in this particular case, we know there's ambiguous discretion because there's not necessarily a definition of what an emergency is. And those factors erode or indicate that there is a lesser probability of a property interest in the occupancy permit.
Interesting. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Tucker, rebuttal?
Your Honor, I have no rebuttal. And unless you all have any specific questions for me,
we'll call them up.
No, sir.
I have nothing.